All right, folks, welcome to NinosHorner.tv. This is FluffTube Edition. I'm joined with Cameron Waters once again. Big guest. He's making big moves. Just came out with a documentary, Crispiracy. How did it do, man? Did it do all right at the theaters?
Yeah, it did good. I mean, it's just the beginning. So the theater in its own way was a big test and kind of marketing to be able to get more people, more buzz about the film. Like we were just talking about, we were able to get on Piers Morgan recently. And it's a play towards the move towards our digital release, which is going to be worldwide. We're doing translations in all the world languages that we can, even some dubbing. So yeah, it was just kind of the kickstart, but it was a good one. It got a lot of people talking for sure.
And folks, if you don't know about Crispiracy, check it out. He's stating the case that Jesus Christ was a vegan. Now, still don't know if I'm on board with it because I love meat so much, but I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna go with it. But first, folks, Noble Gold, get your Noble Gold. How investing got you, says investing got you stressed out, folks, because a lot of us are stressed. Too complicated. Don't leave your money in the bank losing value. Get it working. Invest in precious metals with Noble Gold Investments. We all know where this is headed. And if you follow my channel, you know you got to get gold. It's simple, real, and always there for you. Real throughout history's toughest times. And Noble Gold Investments, American experts make it easy. I know Colin Plume personally. He's helped me through the process. You're going to want to get gold and silver. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. If you qualify for an IRA, you'll even get a free quarter ounce gold standard coin. Keep it simple. You can't go wrong with precious metals. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hit the link below. Get started. Get yourself gold and silver. It keeps its value. All right, Cameron, man, dude, this is big because I wanted to originally bring you on about. I wanted to know how the film did. Honestly, I wanted to see how it if it knocked it out of the ballpark or whatever. And talk about this red heifer. I've kind of dropped the ball on the red heifer, I guess, sacrifice that they're getting ready to do. I thought they were supposed to do it, what, last week?
There's been a
What's
lot of
going
different
on with that?
speculation. Yeah, they say that they're going to do it by Passover is or during Passover has been the kind of common understanding up to this point. But there's been speculation that's come in and out. There was, some speculation that the last Sabbath they were going to do it because it was the Sabbath associated with the heifer. Every Sabbath, has different kind of ritual associations and whatnot. So there was a potentiality that it might happen on that Sabbath, but it didn't. Now we've got this eclipse that's coming up. A lot of people are stirred about and talking about, and there's speculation around that too, as well, on April 10th, maybe being a potential date. But again, what we've heard, or what I've heard from sources closer in on the project, it's more Passover is the goal.
Yeah, I'm watching this eclipse. There's a lot of hype around it, man. I mean, there's something. I know it has to be a marker for these people, because there's just too much hype around it. They're deploying the National Guard. It doesn't make sense to me that they would have all of this surrounding. It could be a big nothing burger. Maybe nothing happens. It's a Y2K type thing. But I think it means something because there's too much propaganda surrounding it. What do you think?
Right. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that are saying, pushing back on this red heifer piece and saying, well, it's not going to happen. It never has happened. There have been accounts of red heifers in the, last couple decades where they've tried to have them. And we can get into the whole kind of history of where this even comes from the scriptures and everything. But it's an ancient thing that now they've been trying to bring back to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And
Is that the
basically,
Solomon Temple? Am I right in saying that? Which temple are they building in Jerusalem?
well,
Which one is it?
it's had many different iterations. So it started all the way back as the tabernacle, which was more the tent of meeting when the, Israelites and Hebrews, they were in the wilderness. But yeah, Solomon's temple, there was apparently too a temple of Melchizedek even before that. But Solomon's temple is the main first one. And then there's a few temples that lead up to the second temple, which was the temple during Jesus's time, King Herod's temple that was built by the Roman Empire. And so that was the last one that fell in 70 AD during the Roman War with the tribe of Judah and every, so there's been nothing. There's been no sacrifices, been, no temple since then. And obviously now there's the Dome of the Rock, that's there, that's been there since about 1000, AD. And essentially the big idea is that in Numbers 19 in the Old Testament, or the Torah, both depending on if you're looking at it through a Christian or a Jewish lens, in Numbers 19, there's this scripture that says a red heifer must be sacrificed, burned, and its ashes must be mixed with water, living water, and then sprinkled on the priests to be able to purify the priests from being near death, or purify them from death. And once they're purified, then they can build the temple. They can start more sacrifices and start the process that happens at the temple. And because there's a couple crazy things that have happened. One is that, the ashes of this heifer have to be mixed with the ashes of the previous one, as part of the ritual. So when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, animal sacrifices stopped. In Christianity, obviously, too, doesn't have any animal sacrificial ritual to it. So there's been this long, long period where there's been no sacrifices and a lot of time for those original ashes to maybe get, like, kind of lost to history. But apparently, there's been an urn of ashes that was found not too long ago, and now they've got the ashes, and then the whole thing has just been, can we find a heifer that's perfect? And so essentially that heifer can't ha it has to be a perfect red heifer, as this text says. It can't have a single blemish. And a blemish can be a hair that's a different color than red. It can't
One
have
color
a
white, one color black, just one hair.
right. And it can't be yoked, meaning it can't be used for any kind of purpose. So it can't have, the tag from agriculture or have worked in any way. So there's a rancher in Texas that started years and years and years ago, breeding these red heifers to try to get a perfect red heifer. And essentially this organization called the Temple Institute, that wants to build the temple. They're a small organization. What's that?
He was breeding it specifically for this purpose. This guy set
Yeah.
out to breed red heifers so that he can what? Sell them off to Israel for the sacrifice?
Well, there's a guy by the name of
Kind of like
Byron.
cheating, if you
Yeah,
ask me.
there's a lot of people that bring that up, that this doesn't even qualify for the actual ritual because they're technically GMO cows. They're kind of genetically
Right.
modified the way that they're doing this. So yeah, they that would maybe be classified as a blemish in and of itself. But this rant, there's a guy by the name of Byron Stinson that has an organization out of Texas. And he and I did an interview. I interviewed him back in November because I've been following this for over a year, and I have a whole crazy backstory that we can talk about of how I got involved with this. It's really wild. But I've been following it for about a year, and right around the time when October 7th happened, all the horrific stuff that's been going on, that really pushed me and pushed that into the forefront of, like, hey, I have to understand what's really going on. I had an inclination that there was something to do with the red heifer involved in all of this. Started seeing the publications come out, which we can talk about as well. And I said, I got to go interview this rancher because I had a contact for him. And I was able to interview him. And basically,
I
yes.
have a video. We could share it if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
going to play this YouTube video of actually you have a site here and explain this to me and my audience. I'm looking at it right now. Stop the sacrifice. Stop the sacrifice.
Exactly. So
Manilius. I
there's a,
signed it, by the way.
oh, nice. Yeah. So there's a lot of people talking about the red heifer. I mean, if you pull up your YouTube or your Facebook or whatever, and you type it in, you'll just see the flood of videos with millions, hundreds of millions, some of them, views and thousands and hundreds of thousands of likes and comments and everything. It's a huge, huge topic. But I've just found in all of the noise, it's like everyone's just kind of holding their popcorn. No one's
Right,
really
right.
like, are we going to do anything about this? Because there's so many implications to this, which we can
Well,
talk
to
about.
me, it seems like this is being completely artificially engineered, especially if the guy was breeding them for this purpose.
Right,
So, I mean,
right.
it's not really any kind of scripture prophecy to me if it's being engineered. Am I right in
Right.
saying that?
That's a great point. I particularly feel, which we can get into, that this was never really intended and isn't really prophetic to start with. And the whole concept of animal sacrifice, we can put into question both from the lens of Judaism and the lens of Christianity. And you know what? One thing I want to say from the outset here is that the large majority, to my knowledge, the large majority of Israelis, they don't support this. They think it's wacky too. It's not something that they agree with, that they support. And unfortunately, there's a group, a small but powerful group called the Temple Institute, which is an NGO that has said, we want to be the ones leading this charge on building this temple. And therefore, in order to build the temple, you have to have the heifer. So they went out and started looking for where they could find this heifer. And that's how they got introduced to the rancher. And through that process, you've got this small but powerful group, this NGO called the Temple Institute, which is also being supported by a small but powerful sect of evangelical Christians that are funding a lot of this too, because they want this to happen. Right. You know, to bring about the end times and this sort of thing. But again, the large majority of evangelical
Christians, these are fanatics.
Yeah. Most people wouldn't agree with this. However, because no one's really talked about it for so long, and even still now, it's kind of getting suppressed, which we can chat about. Our film that we just went to theaters with, we were forced to or required to remove this part of the film. We had this in the film, this whole story with the rancher and everything. Yeah, they asked us to remove it from the film. So
why? It's that controversial?
Yeah, they said it was that controversial, and you know, there was just different kinds of feelings around if the theaters were going to accept it, if it was in there, and you know, back and forth. And we've just been through so many hoops with this film that, you know, we had to buy our rights back from Netflix, and we're releasing independently, and then we got this opportunity with the theaters, and then they started saying that, and it was like, okay, we just gotta get this film out, so let's just take it out for now, and then we'll release this uncut version digitally with the Red Heifer. And so we're in a way right now kind of really going out of a limb, because we're going ahead and talking about it, even though it wasn't in the film. We're just going to put it out there because it's that important. We want to make sure that people are aware of this so that we can, like we say in the website, stop the sacrifice, make sure that it doesn't happen, because the implications of it and that fabrication that you mentioned could just bring about so much, you know, chaos.
World War III and apocalypse, or, you know, Armageddon, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, we're not saying that, but the people that are involved are saying and understanding those possibilities, as you'll see with the rancher.
So,
and
so do you think all of these cycles that are ending, the eclipses, the whole thing, everything that's heating up across the planet, is all coincidence, or is this all timing? They're doing this, they're following a schedule here. They're following scripture. They're trying to make prophecy come true.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at, I'll say I don't know for sure, but from my understanding and watching how this type of, you know, animal sacrificial ritual practice works, you know, and the holidays that are celebrated, we went, you know, not only in our film to we talk about Eid in our film, the festival of Eid, which is the Islam animal sacrifice, also the Nepal Gaudama sacrifice, which is kind of a Hindu-based sacrifice. All of them are based around certain times of the year, certain seasons, certain, you know, celestial things that are going on. So absolutely, I'm sure the celestial bodies are being watched and being, you know, calculated with when this should be done, for sure, if they are going to go forward with it.
So then let me play this right now. Let's see. And I'll have to stop it because I don't want to get any copyright infringement things here. So Let's play this video here. I just watched this and I was like, wow, I got to have him back on. Hold on. Here we go.
What if I told you the cost of the October 7th attack leading to the current conflict in the Holy Land was a red cow? Let me explain. Hamas has stated that the final trigger for the recent October 7th attack was concern of a cow sacrifice leading to the demolition of the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque to rebuild.
So wait, that Dome of the Rock has been demolished?
No, it's still there for sure. Okay. And again, most Israelis and most people around the world don't want to do this. They don't want to demolish that. But it says on the Temple Institute's website, which you'll see in the video here highlighted, they declare that they're going to clear it. If they do this, it's the
So this is what this is all really about. This is what we're watching right now in Gaza, everything. This is kind of what it's really about right here.
Well, obviously, there's a really, really long history leading to all of this. There's all kinds of tension with, the foundation of the state of Israel, the tensions between the two sides. Us as an organization and what we're doing with our film, we're not trying to take any political side on this, though we have very strong feelings about what's going on. I mean, no one likes war. In our opinion, all the killing needs to stop, and there needs to be a conversation had about what do we do about this? How do we stop all of this? And for us too, as you'll see in the film, we realize and we have revealed through our research that all the way back in history, animal sacrificial ritual has always been tied to war, slavery, all of these things. And this is a perfect example of it, where you've got this long history, you've got this culture that's got this tension. And though this history is there, it built up to the point of this animal sacrifice being the final trigger declared by Hamas, and verified by all of these, sources. CBS just did a, so many people don't believe this, and this is the craziest part is, no, that the war wasn't caused by the cow. And what we're saying is we have sources that are saying it is the trigger. It's the final trigger.
Right.
Even though there's all these things building up because Hamas, and they may just be politicizing some of this too to get more support, but they're saying they named it Al-Aqsa Flood. You've heard that they when
Right.
they did their attack, it's called Al-Aqsa Flood. Well, what's Al-Aqsa? That's the mosque. That's the temple that they have. The mosque that they have. I'm sorry, and they're going to to defend that. And when they see that these cows are there, and they know that the cow ritual leads to that destruction because it's stated on the Temple Institute. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Yeah, the templeinstitute.org's website, then they know how that follows. So they're saying this is the final trigger. And the cow hasn't even been sacrificed yet. So
Oh.
imagine what happens if it actually happens,
Let me play the rest.
Build the Jewish temple. What are they talking about? The red heifer sacrifice. A small but powerful group of Orthodox Judaism and Evangelical Christianity believe it is written that a perfect red heifer, meaning no blemishes, must be sacrificed to rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem. But one of the holiest Islamic mosques is in the way. The TempleInstitute.org, run by these small Judeo-Christian groups, confirms that after the cow sacrifice, they plan to clear it.
It's 100%, yeah. The whole thing is going to go. We have to build a temple.
This will enrage.
So after the cow sacrifice, they're planning to demolish that temple.
That's what the templeinstitute.org says. Yeah.
Wow,
So
and that's supposed to happen right after, or years after, or what?
no one really knows the timeline because, for one, they have to have this perfect priesthood, right? But that's the thing is, again, going back to people that think this is just speculative nonsense. Oh, look back in the 90s, they said they had a red heifer, right? The New York Times did a story on it back in the 90s, I believe. But I'm talking with theologians who follow this stuff closely. For instance, one of my really close friends is Dr. James Tabor, at the University of North Carolina. He's a theologian that was actually the guy that was called to Waco whenever the Waco tragedy happened. He was the guy that was on the ground, handling the negotiations with the FBI because he understood apocalyptic religion better than anyone else. This guy is the guy when it comes to this stuff. And he and I talk, and he says, "Look, I've been and I've seen the red heifer thing cycle. They come through every number of years, and it seems like it might happen." He's like, "But this time is different. This time is different because they've literally flown the cows over. You'll see in the video, they paid
Okay.
$250,000 to fly the cows over. They're holding them there. They're actually
Oh,
in the
no
West
wonder he
Bank."
wanted to breed these things. He got 250,000 a cow or for all of them?
Well, I don't know how much of that was for the cows and how much of that was for the travel because they flew five of them over in American Airlines jets as pets, which is a whole other thing. The Ministry of Agriculture has, helped them do this and helped them understand this loophole. And we have, there's an Israeli journalist on the ground who we've spoken with that has confirmed and has, shown that there's this type of support happening with the government. Same thing with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who has helped them build or allowed them to build a temple on the Mount of Olives to be able to sacrifice the animal and burn it and do that whole
Is
thing.
this going to be public? I mean, when they sacrifice this animal, are they going to do it in front of crowds of people or on television or what?
So the rancher that we interviewed, who you'll see in the video here in a minute, he says that they're gonna televise it and it's gonna be a live stream thing, and they're gonna invite people like a public event. People can come see it and be a part of it. I did press him a little bit on, the exact methods of the process, because coming from our perspective from the film, part of what our film discusses is this whole idea, not only of animal sacrifice, but just of cruelty to animals in general, unnecessary cruelty to animals in general, and how we should look at that with an ethical lens. And so I was pressing the rancher, like, hey, how is this going to be done? What does the sacrifice look like? And he kept telling me how it was going to be very transformative for the people who watch it and this and that. And I was like, well, how are they going to watch it? And he said, oh, it's going to be live streamed. And I said, oh, are they going to be live streaming the county? He said, well, it's going to be inside of a tent. And I said, well, who's going to be in the tent? And he said, the priest. And I'm like, so then how is anyone going to see it if it's going to be in the tent? And then he didn't have, an answer for that. And so there's a lot of interesting dynamics to this where basically, yeah, they're going to have this altar, but they're going to actually do the ritual inside this tent. That's, just repeating his words. So.
Okay, let's see here.
The entire Muslim world, as the Middle East monitor said, Israel's red cow will blow up the region. And while the majority of Jews disagree with the sacrifice, all signs point to these groups doing it anyway. With government support and $250,000, the first perfect red heifers in 2,000 years were flown over from a Texas rancher who I interviewed in December for our recent documentary that went into 650 theaters worldwide, where he admitted the cows caused the conflict.
It is the fulcrum of the conflict, that's for sure. And the red heifers are...
Does this guy not feel guilty at all for kind of causing this? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the one breeding them for this purpose.
Well, to be technical, he was the one commissioned to find the cows, and he has a small operation on his own property of cows, as most Texans do. But he found the guy who breeded them and is good friends with them, and then he and his organization were the ones that orchestrated
Okay,
getting the
so he
rabbis to check.
instigated this. He helped cause this. I mean, he's
Yeah.
guilty, right?
Well, I
And
can't speak
this
for him.
one guy right here, this one rancher could, I mean, honestly, could start the scorched earth process, this guy.
Yeah. Well, his story that he shared with us, and we're going to release the extended interview at some point. But his story is that he as a kid, he had a vision of this stuff. He said that he had a vision and had this connection to some of the biblical stories that helped him understand this. And the same thing with the actual guy who bred the cows. He had some other vision and started breeding these cows, and it just all kind of came together. And he said, this is his purpose that he's fulfilling. And they reached out to him looking for this. And so he felt the synchronicity of that and said, this is what needs to happen. And it's the same thing with this sect of these kind of radical Christians that they feel they want Jesus to come back. And the only way for Jesus is to come back is for these sequence of events to happen. And at the beginning of that sequence of these events is the red heifer. The red heifer has to happen so that the
So,
temple can be built, so that the Antichrist can come, and then Jesus can come, and all of these things.
is this guy Christian? I guess he's Christian.
He's Christian, yeah.
Or the start of that.
He also revealed the sacrifice is set for Passover, April 2024.
So we're coming right on that time. I believe it's going to happen soon.
And he said it could lead to a holy World War III event.
Today we're closer to a World War III type event than we were yesterday. And tomorrow we'll be even closer. And it is coming, period.
Why are major media outlets who rage about this holy war silent on this issue? Even our film distributor demanded we remove the Red Heifer Rancher from our theater release, censoring this message from the mainstream. The October 7th in Gaza situation is horrific, but this cow sacrifice may spark further worldwide war and bloodshed. If we act now, it's not too late. Our best chance to avoid escalating the tension is petitioning to spare the innocent cow and stop the sacrifice. Our goal is 1 million signatures by April 22nd, 2024, Passover. Hand delivered.
You really believe that's going to stop this? Just a bunch of signatures?
We got to do something. We got to do something. And I do know
But I
on the
mean, what are
great.
signatures going to do to people that are fanatical in this and believe it's their calling to instigate or start, a prophecy? I mean, I don't understand what signatures are going to do.
Well, for one, because the government has the authority to do something, that's why we're saying that we're going to deliver it there. Again, there's only so we know how governments can be, from our own government to that government. But at the same time, there are people, Israelis on the ground, who I know if it gets closer to the point, we'll initiate a plan B, you know, in some way. I'm sure they're going to do something. And let's just pray, too, that everyone's right, that it is.
I mean,
just
our
this
destiny, our future generations are in the hands of these lunatics that want to sacrifice a cow. I mean, is that where we're at? I mean, this is that's what's scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like World War III is going to start because of a red cow. I mean, this is, doesn't this sound insane to you?
Yeah, it's insane. It's complete madness. And that's why I don't know if a petition will do anything, but if anything, it raises awareness and lets people know this is happening because it's flying under the radar. And we know the more things that fly under the radar, the more people don't say anything, and then they come out of nowhere and it happens, and then, you know, could cause something tragic. So we want to do this for awareness, and also we want to do to show that the majority of people disagree with this, including Israelis. You know, that's the thing, is we have, since sharing this video, we've gotten a lot of different feedback of people being concerned that it's painting people in a particular light, or that people are behind this that aren't. All we've ever said is that the Temple Institute is behind this. The government has supported through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and through the Ministry of Agriculture. But if anything's to blame, it's, you know, the animal agriculture industry that's supporting in its own way. Similarly, you know, with other instances where they have collusion with government and big pharma and this and that, you know, we've got these Texas cattle ranchers that are Christian that are primarily funding this.
How many estimated. Red heifers did he send to them?
Five heifers.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. So by prophecy, I would imagine it would just need to be one.
It's just one.
Out of nowhere, and then you find, I mean, the fact that he helped engineer this process, it loses all credibility to me.
Yeah.
If there was any credibility in the first place, which there's not.
Right. No, they did five to increase their chances of one of them, you know, being good, because the whole thing is it has to be after what they call the second year, which is really the once the animal is 3 years old, the third year of the animal. And so they're in that second year, or after that second year. And that's the year when typically these hairs will start to sprout, just like how we get gray hairs and we get older, the cows start to change. And so two of them have been reported as already disqualified. So we've got three left.
So did they refund the guys? Does he have to refund the money?
That's so funny. Yeah.
I don't know, bro. I look at this in a completely different view. I'm going to tell people to please sign this petition just for the good sake of all this. I don't know. I mean, this sounds so insane to me, but nothing makes sense to me anymore at this point. Even when I read I do my morning shows and I read the news, it's just like I'm looking at a circus. I don't even know what the stuff I wouldn't take serious 10 years ago is now front and center. And I can't even, it's like the whole world has gone mad. The whole world has gone mad. I'm going to play a little bit of the segment of you and Piers Morgan, because I think it deserves to be seen. This was pretty awesome, man. From the is that you and the other producer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is your spot on Piers, and I'm gonna play it now.
Piece of evidence that proves that Jesus was a vegetarian.
Do you think Jesus would kill an animal? Because at the time, back in the day, he would be the one who killed it.
Matthew 14, and he calls the fishermen's nets to be filled on two different occasions.
The forerunner of the movement, John the Baptist, was known in multiple historical sources to eat only plant-based foods.
What's that got to do with Jesus? You're just naming other people.
Pierce, what was served at the Last Supper? Do you remember?
Well, why don't you tell me what you think was served?
He doesn't know. I mean, I don't know either. Wasn't it just bread?
It was bread, yeah. Bread.
Okay, so I was right. Holy cow. He doesn't know, though, does he?
Yeah. Well, he's going to make a joke.
They say this is massively, massively groundbreaking, and it's going to really be a new chapter for Christianity.
You guys want him to be a vegetarian so badly, you're now prepared to twist the actual Bible to do that.
Pierce, there's an ethical way to eat an avocado.
You are party to mass murder. Mass murder. Well, Kip Anderson and Cameron Waters.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, folks.
He edited that. When you watch the whole thing, you'll realize how he edited that to be, you know, he chopped the whole avocado thing to the back of another question that has nothing to do with anything. It's hilarious.
No, but that's cool that you went on there, man. I'm so happy for you guys, to be honest, man. I think
Thank you.
this documentary needs to be seen. Is it still in theaters or is it out now? I mean, is it removed?
It's trickling out. It was still sticking around in a few theaters that were heavily sold out, but I think we're almost done with that, and now we're moving into this whole digital release. And the one thing I want to say too, how it's connected with this whole Red Heifer piece, and the reason why we're even talking about this Red Heifer piece, which is related to this film, and what our argument with Pierce was, is Pierce is so focused on, was Jesus a vegetarian? Was Jesus a vegan? You're trying to prove this. And what we say in the interview with Pierce, and kind of if you see the film, we never state or claim that. We just raise a lot of questions and a lot of discrepancies that put it into question that, you know, there's this heavy meat centered and just in general animal sacrificial system in the scripture. And that's why we're highlighting this red heifer piece, is because as number one, as Christian, anyone who's a Christian, and you know, I was raised Christian and a deep follower of Christ, it's understood that animal sacrifice isn't necessary, especially now
Right.
since
And
Jesus.
I can't picture Jesus sacrificing an animal, but however, I can picture him eating fish because he was with fishermen. But I mean,
Well, as we mentioned on the last podcast, and if you watch the film, there's some interesting discrepancies and conversations that have to be had around those particular stories.
can't we still eat fish? I mean, come on.
I don't, and I'm telling you, I was like we said on the last podcast, was a big time fisherman. I caught lots and lots of fish and enjoyed it. But then what I realized when I saw the ethics and understood the scripture more deeply and realized that Jesus called the fishermen to stop fishing and become fishers of men, you
All
know,
right, up for
disciples.
interpretation. Up for interpretation. Listen, let's get back to this. The doorbell rang. I gotta go anyway. Thank you, Cameron. This was awesome. I'm gonna premiere this. I'm gonna try to premiere it tomorrow.
Can
So,
I
folks,
say,
what's your thoughts? People, you gotta sign this petition. Go ahead.
sign the petition and then read the petition page, stopthesacrifice.com. And at the bottom of the page, maybe just scroll down to the bottom of the page there, you'll see that we have the scriptural evidence and references. Keep scrolling down a little farther, all the way to the bottom. We have some scriptures. There we go. Just above, scroll up just a little bit. There we go. So we have all of these scriptures listed of how both in the Old Testament, in the Torah, the Tanakh, and the New Testament, this evidence that animal sacrifice was never desired by God, and that the prophets are always calling that out. And I know that's a big conversation. We can go deeper on it on another time, but I know this cow sacrifice, a lot of Christians may think similarly, well, it sounds crazy, but also the Bible says that we have to do these kind of sacrifices, and Numbers says that we should do it, and yada yada yada. But our, you know, conversation that we're having here is go look at these scriptures, go read these scriptures in the Bible where it shows that all the prophets, all the way up to Christ, they're, you know, Hebrew prophets that are calling out their own practices and saying, God never wanted this. This is crazy. They are doing what you're saying right now. Now you're saying this is crazy. You know, you're like, this is
Yeah,
ludicrous. They're doing the same thing in these scriptures. But most people aren't privy to this in the Judeo-Christian kind of world. They tend to not see these texts and really understand what they mean. So we're calling to stop the sacrifice, which we feel is in alignment with these texts. And this cow needs to be pardoned just the same way, you know, they pardon the turkey on Thanksgiving. Let's pardon this cow. Let's have a different kind of ceremony or whatever. And,
oh, that would
you
be
know,
crazy. Could you imagine that?
yeah, I
Imagine
mean,
pardoning Red
imagine,
Heifer. That would be like everyone would just be blown away. That would end it right there.
right? Imagine the peace, because just the violent act of sacrificing this being, everyone to see, you're instigating violence right there. You're
You're
promoting
really
violence.
instigating the Muslims, okay? That's who's going to get pissed over this.
Oh yeah, big time. And
Cameron,
then, yeah. So
go
anyhow,
ahead. Finish up.
no, I was just saying, I think that pardoning process or some kind of alternative would put a message out of peace, which I know everybody on both sides truly wants. You know, the majority of civilians and you know, people in Israel and the Christians that, you know, maybe are hearing this that didn't realize that there's this sect of Christianity that's funding all of this. I think everybody on all sides and in faiths could understand if we pardon this, that could send a ripple effect of just a peaceful process moving
Huge.
forward. Yeah.
Huge. I'm all for it, bro. I am 100% for it. So, Cameron, man, you're doing some great work. You're doing God's work. I appreciate you coming on. Folks, sign this petition right here. Let's see what it does. I mean, you never know right here. You just sign it. You put your first name, last name, and email. And let's see what we can do to stop the sacrifice.
Awesome. Stopthesacrifice.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, brother. And I'll keep in touch with you, and we'll bring you on again.
Sounds good.